And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about, man, this show goes way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Well, hey, so number one of the Triple Dipper, no coincidence, I'm calling it. And I got some text messages already, so I'll jump on those real quick. Raven from Russellville says, Stalin once said, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. That's the country we seem to be living in. Tyranny, anyone? Wow, there you go. Samah the truck driver says, so we're not going to talk about Hillary? Oh, I'm going to talk about Hillary. I've got that written down in my notes right here. Samah, give me a moment. I'll be right at it. Jeremy from Huntsville just sexed it in and said, what if it was Robert Kennedy Jr. indicted? Do you think the Democrats would wake up? You know what? I don't know if the Democrats would wake up unless it was Biden. I really don't. I just wonder. Allison from Madison says, says, look at you being so profound. Not behind our time. They were ahead of their time. See, thank you very much, Allison. Somebody caught my profundity there for a moment. I appreciate it very much. Jeff from Indiana just says, Phil, an Apache helicopter is a wonderful vehicle. If you put idiots in the cockpit, it's going to get the same crash as the Constitution. Wow. And then Barbara from Athens just texted in and says, the president has an absolute right to have the records at Mar-a-Lago. Only he determines what are personal records, presidential records, etc. This was confirmed by Judge Amy Bergman Jackson in the Clinton sock drawer case. Barbara from Athens. And Barbara, you are correct. So here's one of the things I guarantee you is going to be one of the key defenses is that President Trump, as president, had the right to declassify any matter. He could declassify documents. He could declassify things. He could declassify whole files. He had the right to declassify. The question is, did he? One of the allegations that we're just beginning to see now in the newly opened or unsealed indictment is that at one point he was showing documents to people at his golf club that related to military action that had been planned for him against another foreign country. It doesn't say who, although it's believed to be Iran. And that, that while showing it, he said, yeah, I probably should have declassified these, but I didn't. And so if that's true, then it seems to be a dynamic that indicates that maybe some of the documents were not. What we know right now, by the way, is within the SCADs, the copious amounts of documents that he had, which included just, you can see pictures, there's boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes. And I guess if I was president of the United States too, I'd want some souvenirs. I'd want to have my memoirs one day or something. But within all of those boxes, there were just over 100 documents that apparently were labeled in some form of classified, you know, there, by the way, there's different levels of classification if you're not familiar. You can have, in this case, they had 35 that were labeled confidential, which is just like low-level stuff. 53 labeled secret, which I don't want to belittle it, but a secret clearance is almost anybody who gets in the military gets a secret clearance. 17 of them were labeled top secret, which is when you're getting into the big stuff. And when you have TSSCI, that means secure compartment and information attached to it, that it's compartmentalized. It's not only TS, it's TS compartmentalized away from every other. So you have to be read onto the program to actually be a part of it. So I don't know. We're saying right now, we're looking at, for instance, the report that just came out says that the classified documents, is the allegation, that Trump stored in his boxes included information regarding defense and weapons capabilities of both the United States and foreign countries, U.S. nuclear programs, potential vulnerabilities of the U.S. and its allies to military attack, plans for retaliation in response to a foreign attack, and the unauthorized disclosure of these classified documents could put at risk national security of the United States. Okay, those are heavy allegations. I can see I got a caller on the line. Is that Kareem? I haven't heard from Kareem in a long time. Kareem, how you doing, man?
Hey, Phil, I'm fine, man. And the reason why I got a new phone and it erased your number. So every time I'm trying to catch you, like I just caught the number again when you said it. Well, so I'll be wishing you say the number a little bit more. I lost the whole number.
Well, get us locked into your speed dial, brother.
I got you locked in again. I got you locked in on the new one. Now, as far as this Trump thing go, yeah. I look at it like this. This is for all the things he didn't get caught doing. Oh. You know, they always told me that when I was younger like that, when the police used to roll up and throw us on the wall or arrest us, you know, frivolous, you know, hop in the train station, they say, well, this is for the stuff that you didn't get caught doing. I mean, what exactly are we supposed to do? Just let him walk away after he did all his damage to this country? Well, we're supposed to just let him walk away with no consequences
all right,
and let him run for president again.
Let me ask you a question. What you just said happened to you. You think it was wrong, but you want it to happen to somebody else. Is that what you just said?
No, what I'm saying is that this is life. This has always been my life and millions of other people's life. So now that he's being held to the same standard, I'm not mad. You see, until that rule in itself changed, then people, if they stop doing it to everybody,
well, you just,
I don't see why he need to be excluded.
Brother, you can't come at me with the argument that two wrongs do make a right. I mean, if you're saying
I'm not saying two wrongs,
no.
But it's always been wrong.
Well, I know, but now you're saying that it's like, okay, so Trump, we don't know that you're guilty of anything else, but since we think you are, this is payback for what we think you did. That's what you just said.
This is true life. This is what I'm trying to tell you.
That is not true life.
That's how it is. And when they give you these little 18B lawyers or these legal aid lawyers, it's the whole thing is just to lock you up.
Well, okay.
But you have millions of people who can't fight like Trump, who don't have his money to fight. But this happens every day to regular Americans.
Why does that make it right for it?
50 years.
If that's the case.
But if we want to change it.
Brother, listen, you cannot go down that road. That is not the winning argument here. You cannot come at me and say, I think there's injustice in other places, so I need some injustice against Trump.
All I'm saying is that I'm not saying I think. I'm saying I know that it's injustice in other places, and it continues to happen.
But just because a bad thing happened somewhere else doesn't mean you should wish a bad thing on President Trump because you don't like President Trump. Would you wish the same thing on Biden?
No, but you all know that he's guilty. This is what he
did. No, we don't.
No other reason. When they found the documents of Biden, Biden gave the documents back. He told his lawyers to lie. He ain't have nothing. He wanted to keep it.
Well,
if he went through the regular channel, he wouldn't have this problem.
I would point out that everything you just said was an allegation, and that in this nation, you are still innocent until proven guilty. You realize that, right?
It's supposed to be that way.
Okay. Well, if it's supposed to be that way, then let it play out that way. But I'll be honest with you. I look at this and I find, okay, Hillary destroyed her server with, you know, some internal bit bleach and also with a hammer and got away with it. And then you've got, you know, a different, you know, standard for Biden storing documents, you know, in his bathroom and then next to his Corvette. And then,
they,
you know,
went after her. They should have, but they didn't, and now what we're looking at is everybody needs to be held accountable.
All right, but hey, then okay, let's go back and reopen those cases. Would you feel good about that? And what about Biden? He's still under investigation.
I already told you, Biden is 100 years old. We care nothing about Biden. His only job was to get rid of Trump. He did that. He needs to step aside.
So
he needs to go somewhere. He's falling down. He's falling asleep.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. So having said that, who do you want for president next time around?
You know what? And I listened to Tim Scott the other day on The View.
Nice.
And he really grabbed my attention. That is something else. I really didn't like this man because of some of the things that he said previous. But when I heard him speak and when I heard what he had to say about the whole situation, about the norms and everything, that really hit me. I'm like, okay, I can get with that. I know where he's coming from. If he keep it up, I might vote for him.
Come on.
I would vote for a Republican or Democrat as long as they got the best interests of this country in mind and they're not selfish. They're not going to do what Trump did because he set a new precedent with what he tried to do to this country.
Well, so
he said he.
So you
with
won't
the, with the whole vote things.
So you won't happened. You won't wear a MAGA hat, but you might vote Republicans. What I just heard.
That's right.
Hey,
I'm no MAGA for me. MAGA's a different tribe. MAGA's not Republican. MAGA's nuts.
All right, Kareem. Thank you for occupying my time, brother. Keep us on speed dial. You make it entertaining.
All right. I got you, man. Thank
See you.
Have a nice one.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Okay, well, we'll see. Did I have another caller on the line, Boomer? What was that? Okay, the phone just keep on ringing. Y'all text in, and Rita's not sure she wants – Rita from Scottsboro is not sure she wants Kareem to keep calling in. But I it's okay, Rita. I love it when Kareem calls. Keeps me on my toes. So, okay, listen. We're not going to spend all day on this, but I have a feeling that this story is going to be one that develops over time. But what we're knowing, what we know right now is that this indictment came down, and it literally came just on the same day that a document emerged that lays out a clear allegation that the Biden administration, that Biden himself received a $5 million bribe when he was vice president through Burisma, which his son was then on the board in Ukraine. So you look at the timing, and I'm like, no, somebody somewhere should have said, we need to give this a day because it ain't going anywhere. I mean, the story ain't going anywhere, but at least try, fellas. At least try not to make us look like a banana republic. What's that? A document against Biden? Quick, indict Trump. And now CNN's got nothing but Trump. I'll tell you, too, one of the things that really bugs me is Trump has got one of his aides has been swept up in this. And here's what we know about that. The aide's name, let me go find it again. It's an unusual name. I can't say it right. Waltin Nauta. I don't know if he's a foreign origin or not, but he is one of Trump's chief aides. And allegedly, some of the boxes fell over in a storage room. He happened to walk in there, see them, and he is now swept up as a co-conspirator, which I thought conspiracy required intent. And see, that's what we're going to say. Lawyer Phil talking here for a minute. There has to be an air of willfulness in this. There has to be the ability for the court to say, this was not accidental. These documents were not packed up by somebody else and shipped down to Mar-a-Lago, and the president found out about it later. They have to establish a willfulness. And right now, they've got 31 counts of willful retention of national defense information, 32 counts of conspiracy to obstruct justice. Count 33 is withholding a document or record. And so you look at this and go, this is what they got? Withholding a document or record? I thought the story was that he was meeting with the attorneys to determine how best to hand over the documents. Where was the raid on Hillary's house? But yet we had a raid on Mar-a-Lago. The whole thing just smells. It just smells. And here's Biden, you know, document surface. What's he doing? Looks like he may have had a $5 million bribe, according to very reliable sources on documents the FBI has had in their possession for quite a while. Quick, indict Trump. That's where we are. All right, take us to a break, Boomer, before I have an aneurysm. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, where common sense is a superpower. So let me go back and explain something real quick and remind all of y'all. I have worked in TSSCI clearance level programs, all right? I've been read on to what they call SAPs and worked in SCIFs. I have been in the bowels of the Pentagon for long periods of time and worked in other units where we had classified documents and things that had to happen. I maintained a TSSCI clearance for well over half my military career. That being said, I understand the ideas of classification. And the idea that I am frustrated with all that's happening right now is because of the political side of it. I recognize that if there truly is a smoking gun, if they've got something that says Trump's out there, waving documents around and showing them to people who had no business seeing them and they were not declassified, then yeah, I agree, that would be pretty serious. I'm not gonna belittle that, especially if it violated national security. But what I don't see, right now is what I would call an equal application of the law. For Hillary Clinton, and I just saw another a conservative pundit who's a never-Trumper on a little while ago, just on his social media, saying you could say but Hillary and but Biden all you want to, but the fact is, I get it. But you, by the way, cannot ignore the but Hillary, but Biden arguments. Because what we know right now, a story that I've got sitting right here from the Daily Wire, dated today, is that what we know right now is that in the investigation about Biden's classified documents, he hasn't even been interviewed yet. What the frick? I mean, at this point, you got to look at it and go, look, if you're going to do this, make it the same for everybody. Well, he had them in Mar-a-Lago and they were in a bathroom or something. The valet saw them. He had them at the golf club. Biden had them next to his Corvette. So all I'm saying is this. The reality of the law is that the law is supposed to be blindfolded. And as an attorney, I understand. As a military guy who had TS clearance, I understand. You cannot deny that there has been an unequal application of the law. It's got Trump's name on it, therefore it just has a different track, right? You didn't see a raid on Hillary Clinton's house, but you did on Mar-a-Lago. You didn't see a raid on the Penn Biden Center or on Biden's house. You didn't. Well, he was giving them up. No, he wasn't. They had to go find them. They had to ask for permission to search and find them. And by the way, some of those documents that Biden had dated back to his time as a U.S. senator. U.S. senators have no authority, none, to walk out of any skiff with classified documents. And yet he had some. What were they? Why did he have them? Why were they in a box next to his Corvette in his garage? All that to say, equal application of the law really does mean something. I'm looking over here. The text lines have gone crazy. So Frank from Huntsville says, I believe the White House and the media and the DOJ are postponing any charges on Biden and they're waiting on him to die. Well, there's that. Pastor Barnes just texted in and says, Phil, seeing as how Joe Biden's mental competency has been AWOL, in my opinion, his entire presidency, how could anything he signed be considered legally binding? That's an interesting point. Wow. Well, he has not been adjudged incompetent yet, Pastor, so hang in. We'll see. Jeremy from Huntsville, I don't care if Trump is guilty. They threw every book, every law they could to see what would stick, and they may have gotten something to stick now. You could do that to anybody. And they did it because he was an outsider. What a bunch of freaking crybabies, he says. Robbie from Ariana, Kareem, he didn't like Kareem's opinion, says he's watching too much CNN. Okay. Jeff from Holly Pond says, some men argue pointless arguments because they was raised by a woman. I don't know what he's talking about. Okay. Is he talking about me? Anyway. John from Huntsville, Phil, if it can be proven the 2020 election was stolen from Trump, and I know it can, then technically he did not do anything wrong because he's still the president. Interesting. By the way, one of the dynamics about this, Boone, is that there are folks saying, I mean, and I question this, does this help or hurt Trump? And I think he's going to get a small bump right now in the polls just from this.
Yeah. But he likes the publicity, but he doesn't. It's the negative publicity.
It's the negative. And then the question is going to be, I think his base will stick with him no matter what.
Yeah.
But I also can't help but wonder if the people who would vote for him, but they would vote for somebody else too, if they're still deciding, if there's any Trump fatigue, so to speak, that would make them go, look, nah, I can't do it. I don't know.
I think so, maybe. Yeah, it could go either way. I mean, well, those people that are on the fence are on the fence, and maybe that's, you know, that's who, like DeSantis and everybody is trying to pick up on.
Oh, there are. I think DeSantis is also trying to steal some of Trump's base. And then, you know, I look at it too and think, what's going to happen if he gets reelected? Because this thing won't get wrapped up before the election.
No.
So if he gets reelected, the question was raised a little while ago on one of the news sites that I was watching before the show. Would he be able to legally pardon himself?
Oh, he is the president.
At that point.
Or would the, I mean? Does that go down to the vice president then, or if I don't know?
No.
It's him. He's the guy.
The authority to pardon is vested in the office of the presidency, and if he gets reelected, can he pardon himself? There's so many nuances to this story. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back. Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute calling in. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. Right-side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's Right Side Radio, the news talk leader. Here we are, Phil Williams, live in the Right Side studios, man. We got all of it. We got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all of it like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, listen, I got to tell you, the text lines just lit up, and I saw Terry from Athens says, I just busted out laughing. On the news at the top of the hour in relation to Trump, it said, we have one set of laws in this country. No way. If so, Hillary would have already been indicted. And Terry, I got to tell you, man, I get that kind of feedback all the time. I do not pick the people who run the news for us, and they're usually the opposite of me. It drives me crazy. Anyway, that being said, let me jump on over. Coming in right now on the phones, our weekly roundup with Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. Stephanie Smith, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm doing better than Trump or Hillary.
Well, speaking of which, there's so much for us to talk about today. So where to begin? Let's go ahead and let's take that as a segue. So I've been spending the last half hour talking about the Trump indictment just unsealed, like multiple counts of, you know, willful mishandling of documents and national security issues. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm always hesitant to opine quickly without reading through things, and I think that that's wise of you as well. The yesterday when kind of everything went out on the wire, I was like, what are we even talking about?
Yeah.
You know, are we just talking about what they found, at Mar-a-Lago when they went in there and terrorized them down there, and then a couple of weeks later found the same thing but worse in Joe Biden's garage with his Corvette? You know, it's one of those things, to me, the timing of it obviously was very suspect with what came out about Biden yesterday as well. This weaponization of our legal system, whether or not that's on the enforcement side or on the judicial side, really should give us pause. It should really be scaring us because, as students of history, when you look back at the degradation of society, what ends up happening is the societies and the governments turn into what we would term, what you and I would probably term, like a banana republic, which is basically you have the structure of a government in place, but nobody pays attention to that structure. They just do, they use it as a weapon, and they use that structure against their enemies and then pretend like laws don't apply to them. And so I guess regardless of what, espionage or all the things that he is, now being charged with, my question is kind of taking a step back and looking at it from a historical perspective, which is, where are we as a country here? When we are talking, whether or not, and I laughed out loud, I'll admit, during that debate when, Trump, Hillary was talking and he was like, you'll be in jail. Yeah. I mean, I died laughing at that moment, which she never, got even close to jail. But are we really okay as a country weaponizing our laws against political opponents for politics? I think regardless of the side that you're on, the vast majority of Americans would say no.
I would tend to agree, and regardless of which side you're on. But, you know, and I look at it, too, and I can't help but think somebody somewhere, I mean, I recognize that they thought they had the goods on Trump. Let's say they got the goods on Trump. But nothing right. was going to change by giving this a few days of breathing room between the document that appeared about Biden and the actual indictment being handed down. And so you look at it and go, dang, fellas, if you wanted to avoid the suspicions, maybe you could have done this a day or three ahead or a week after, but you did it on the same day, which is like, hey, quick, indict Trump. Something's coming down about Biden. That's the way it feels to the world that has already become right. somewhat jaded about our FBI and the enforcement of laws and the rule of law.
Yeah, it certainly felt that way, whether or not it was or it was not. You know, that meme with the lady yelling, like, bring out the snakes or bring out the, you know, penguins or whatever it is. They make up something different. But that's how it felt, regardless of the validity of the charges. And so it creates a situation to where even those who might take those charges seriously, regardless of who's being accused of them, the framework that we're and the lens that we're using in order to look at it is a lens that we assume this is a lie. We assume this is, you know, trumped up charges. We assume that these kinds of things are being used as a weapon, and so we just, you know, diffuse them in our minds, regardless of whether or not it's valid or not.
Well, by the way, it absolutely is a trumped up charge. That's a pun. Even Boomer got that joke.
It's one of those. It's one of those things to me when, like I said, and maybe it's just because I'm a nerd, but you know, I just immediately think to the historical context of, okay, what does this mean about where we actually are as a country? We talk the big talk about, yep. you know, democracy, and you know, I always correct people that we're a republic, but we talk big talk. That we're, you know, we're better than, you know, the corrupt Ukraine and Russia, and you know, we're not you know, trying to control everything like China or North Korea. But then, you know, things like COVID happen and things like this happen, and I think, are we really that different, or do we just want to pretend like we are?
Well, so let me ask you this. Let's talk about, just briefly, let's wrap this up and talk about the political aspect of it, though. Does this help or hurt Trump? Does it give him a bump, short-term, long-term? And what does it do to the field? Because right now, every member of the Republican primary field has pretty much they feel the burden to have to step up and say, this is wrong, but yet it's the guy they're right. running against. So what are your thoughts?
Right. Yeah, and I thought it was interesting. I mean, obviously, they didn't know, or I assume that they didn't know, you know, the Alabama GOP announced that Trump is coming to town for the for a huge event on the exact same day he's got, you know, an additional indictment charges against him. So that brought it home really quickly. But to me, I think it gives him a short-term bump. You know, all eyes are on the challengers, and they've all gotten in line. That as far as I've seen. But to me, it gives them a short-term bump, but a long-term erosion. Because at some point, even the most stalwart Trump supporters are like, well, are we sure? You know, are we sure he didn't do anything wrong? Because then the question becomes, if they're going to continue after him, you know, then the VP spot gets really, really important in a lot of people's eyes.
Yeah.
Because if they're going to continue after him, you know, there are a lot of people that are pretty reasonable that will say, you know, at some point they're going to find something to stick on him, whether or not it's even valid or something that, you know, you and I would, you know, pursue or not. To be honest, with the number of prosecutors and, you know, just people who have been after him for as long as they have been, the fact that this is all they've got is pretty remarkable to me. He's a lot cleaner than I thought he was from the beginning.
Well, they took down Al Capone by alleging failure to file his income taxes correctly. So
that's right.
Not that I'm saying that Trump is Al Capone, not at all. I'm just saying that's what they've done, is they have gone after that which they can get because they couldn't get that which they wanted. And
that's right.
Well, okay. Hey, I tell you what, my friend. Let's do this. I want to switch gears completely, but we're about a minute ahead of when we would normally take a break. Well, can you hang on through the break? We'll just come right back and talk state politics for a minute. Is that good?
Absolutely. Be happy to.
All right. We're on with Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. We'll take a break right now, about a minute ahead of schedule, so we have a little better time to talk when we get back. Going to flip the script. Let's talk about what happened in the past week and where we're headed on some major issues. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, we're back to the phones right now with our friend Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. Hey, Steph, so let's switch gears here and get back to state stuff. Your thoughts on the way the legislative session ended, highs, lows, indifferences, and what do you see coming?
Yeah, so yeah, the legislature finished sine die, which everybody always loves to talk about that. Nobody knows what it means. I know you probably know what it means, but it basically means we don't know when we're coming back again. it's like goodbye and see you sometime. And so the interesting thing about that this time especially was that there were rumors flying around, crazy rumors flying around the last few days of the session, but especially this past Tuesday, that the see you soon was probably going to be sooner rather than later. And it wasn't about this redistricting that now has cropped up. It was about a special session for gambling coming in August.
Yeah.
And so that was the scuttlebutt. It was almost like the last day was very quiet, the pats on the back, the congratulations all around. They didn't take up anything particularly controversial on the last day on purpose. And then said, hey, probably see you in August. And so that's obviously a big deal for us at API. We've been against the expansion of gambling for as long as the organization has been in existence.
Yeah.
And that hasn't changed and won't change. So that's something that, you know, we're, you know, in the saddle preparing for right now. And, you know, there's these two ad hoc committees that were established at the beginning of this legislative session by the Speaker of the House, one Democrat committee and one Republican committee. They're like the super secret committees that he spoke about it in the press this past week and said that those committees had made some progress and were reporting back to him and that they were ready to move forward with some more discussions on gambling. So we'll see where that heads. Honest, it's a little frustrating.
Yeah.
Because super secret committees are really not supposed to be part of the process.
No, they're not. They're not supposed to be at all. And I can't help but wonder, have those super secret committees had the casino bosses reporting to them and giving them insights on how best to style the next round of legislation? Because, you know, the last one we had before you took over as the president there at API, the last gambling bill we had, even if it wasn't about gambling, it was an awful bill because it allowed right. monopolies. It put actual names mm-hmm. of businesses who don't pay their taxes in Alabama and break our laws, put their names in our state constitution. I mean, it was right. it was one debacle of, you know, non-conservative legislation after another. And oh, by the way, it was about gambling. And I look right. at it and think, and we're going to do what now? So if they're going to bring a clean lottery bill, that's one thing. Are they going to bring a casino monopoly bill again? Are they just going to say, hey, Victory Land, Green Track, y'all do whatever you want to do? I mean, what? Who knows? But it's going to be interesting.
The interesting thing is this whole grandfathering in of people that are currently breaking the law. Where have we done that in other areas
Never.
Of government? I'm not sure that's a very good way of governing. And the other thing is that I do think that there is, you know, at least a push for what people call a clean lottery bill. It's debatable whether or not that's even possible
yeah.
constitutionally.
Yeah.
And then secondarily, the whole idea of just a lottery. Well, it's just a lottery that will bring social ills with it. It's just a lottery that will create, you know, an increase in entitlement programs. It's just a lottery that will be a huge increase in bureaucracy and pushing what I would consider vice money into, you know, our state coffers. And so even those who are for just a lottery, A, I don't believe there's any such thing. And B, you know, as far as being a limited government, free market organization, we can't be for that, like you said, even if it didn't have anything to do with gambling. Picking winners and losers and bloating the bureaucracy and bloating state government are the things that we're against, regardless of what it's about.
And you know what they'll do? You just mentioned bloating state government. What they'll do, whatever they wind up coming up with, if something were to ever pass, they would also create an entire new state department to run it. There would be a special commission where, you know, people get paid good salaries to be a part of state government, you know, presiding over the idea of whatever form of gaming. I just think it's ripe for disaster. Now, I will say this. The only good thing about I did appreciate the fact that Speaker Ledbetter, in his own words, didn't make all the freshmen have to deal with that in their first days in the legislature. I mean, unlike a gas tax, where it got rammed down their throats
unlike
in a special session.
Attack.
Exactly.
Right.
So,
yeah, I agree. And I give him credit as well. You know, the Senate moved that, quote, and I'm using air quotes, you just can't see me, local legislation for Greene County.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was a lot of pressure on Speaker Ledbetter to move that in the House, and he held strong. Now, whether or not he held strong to do something else larger, you know, later, we don't know yet, but it seems to me like he should get some credit on holding the line, at least for this legislative session. The question for me is, you know, what does it look like? And like you said, we're not talking about opening this up to free markets. We're talking about the legislature actually choosing winners or losers. And most of the winners that they chose last time are the current lawbreakers.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so let's talk about the SCOTUS decision and the redistricting. We may have a special session.
Sure.
We got about 2 minutes here. So that kind of came, I mean, I personally thought they were going to go the opposite direction. John Roberts, once again, sides with the liberal side of the court, and boom, 5-4 decision. We have to redraw congressional lines. How do you anticipate this going? And by the way, I talked to John Wall yesterday here on the show, chair of the Republican Party. They qualify for the races in November. They have to have this special session. They have to have it in the bag before November.
That's right. And then you also have to consider the constitutional amendment that we just passed in 2022 that says that you can't change election law within 6 months of that election. And so that may back it up even more. So we're talking about possibly July or August. And then you've got Steve Marshall pushing on the other side saying, whoa, 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 you know, this isn't a done deal from the judicial side. And so that's a hot mess, just to be honest. That whole thing is a big mess, kind of one of those, you know, throw the grenade in the middle of the process situation.
Yeah.
I guess I'm thankful they weren't still in session, but it's one of those because they may have ended up with a special session that tacked on the end of the regular. But it definitely is one of those things that has everybody watching what they'll do. But that six-month CA is going to play into it as well.
Yeah, six-month constitutional amendment. I'd forgotten about that, but you're right. Oh, my gosh. This is what a nuclear bomb that was just dropped in our congressional races. And I got to tell you, I'm not so sure, though, that Terry Sewell, our only Democrat, absolutely does better next time than she did this time, because there's no way they can geographically meet the standards for redistricting on this without removing some of what she currently considers her base. And it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, she went on CNN kind of, you know, being pretty excited about the fact that this was happening, and it may come back around on her that she may not be housed in her own district. So it'll be interesting to watch that happen.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Well, hey, Stephanie Smith, thank you so much for your time again. And folks want to find out more about Policy Institute, tell them where to find you.
You can find us at alabamapolicy.org.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Phil. You too.
All right. As always, she has great punditry. She has good insights. And that was a full half hour. That half hour went by fast, by the way. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're going to switch to number 2 on the Triple Dipper, Transmania. You're going to want to hear this. We'll be right back.